History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're speaking with Katisha Adelaide, who's a violinist and a singer-songwriter. Welcome along, Katisha. Tell us a bit of your story. Where were you born and raised?
Hi, thanks so much for having me. So I'm a far north Queenslander. I was born and raised in a little place called Innisfail, just south of Cairns.
Wonderful. And did you have like a religious upbringing at all?
Yeah, my family is Christian family, so I count myself very lucky. My mum reckons that I became a Christian when I was 4 years old. I don't actually remember that, but she does.
Oh, good, good. And tell us a bit about your upbringing. Were you musical at a young age as well?
Yeah, so my whole family has been quite musical, just, you know, sort of from a, like a hobby type point of view. And so my dad was my second piano teacher, technically. So I started playing piano when I was about 7. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of went from there, and I sort of experimented with a whole bunch of different instruments and then eventually found the violin and decided that's the one I wanted to pursue. So,
mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah. And tell us a bit about your career. Like what did you do after school?
So I graduated from high school, 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel old. And I actually did a year of Bible college straight out of school. So I moved to Townsville for a year. And that was awesome. It was a great experience. And then I had the privilege of going overseas. So my dad is Swedish, so I have extended family over there. And I actually moved over to Sweden for 2 years and did what they call folkhögskola, which is kind of, it's a little bit like TAFE, as in it fits between the end of high school and the beginning of university. Mm-hmm. And so I did a 2-year music study course over there, which was just, it was a really, really great experience for me, being able to just do a lot of different things and experience a lot of things that maybe I hadn't had the chance to experience in, you know, a small regional town in far north Queensland. And so then I came back to Australia after that and started my degree at the Con in Brisbane. And did that and spent some time at YWAM in the middle there as well. And so I've been all over the place and done a lot of different things in the last 10 years. It's been great.
So I'm curious to know about Sweden. My understanding is it's a fairly secular kind of society. What was it like being a Christian in that environment?
It was a very interesting experience, actually, because partly the school where I was, I boarded at the school, was quite isolated. And particularly on Sundays, there was nowhere to get off school grounds unless you walked, which in northern Sweden in the middle of winter wasn't really an option in, you know, negative 20 degrees and snow. And so I didn't actually have a church family at all while I was over there, because it was, from a purely practical point of view, it was just impossible to get to church on Sunday. And really, really didn't have very many Christian friends either. And so it was a very interesting experience and a very interesting time where I grew a lot in my music, but probably didn't grow a lot in my faith, and was probably one of the reasons that I did end up moving home in the end as well, is because I did struggle a little bit in that kind of environment.
Did you meet any Christians over there at all?
Oh, for sure. My uncle is a pastor, mm-hmm. and so my extended family over there are Christians and very active, but I wasn't living with them at the time. And on my holidays, I would go to church, like, you know, 3 or 4 times in a day sometimes.
Yeah.
but during the school term, I didn't have a lot to do with Christian family or friends, just because there wasn't a lot around, to be completely honest. Yeah, it was very interesting.
And I'm curious to know about your time at the Conservatorium of Music in Brizzy. What was it like among all those talented musicians?
It was amazing and also very challenging at times, because what happens is you have this group of musicians that comes together, and everybody has come from their own places where, at the risk of sounding egotistical, where you've kind of been the best, you know?
Yeah.
Where you're like, you may be in ensembles or in groups where you are one of the most musically educated people. And then you come to the con where there's this concentration of people who are equally passionate, equally experienced, often more talented. And so everybody kind of comes together and all of a sudden you're not the best anymore by a long shot. And so as it's very inspiring and very motivating, mm-hmm. but also can be very daunting at the same time, because all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, you know, I didn't realize people could be this good, or oh my goodness, you know, I have so much to learn and I have so many things to grow in. But I was very, very lucky in that the cohort of students that I went into the con with, actually there was a big group of Christian girls that I went in with, which was a huge blessing. A big group of homeschooled girls, because I'm also homeschooled. And so I met more homeschooled people at the con than I've ever met before in my life. And just this really, really supportive vibe, which I was not expecting. I was expecting it to be a little bit competitive and you know, at each other's throats a little bit. But it wasn't like that at all. Everyone was so supportive and so excited about building everybody up that it was actually a really, really surprising and very good experience. Yeah, I was very lucky.
Well, I'm interested to find out about the homeschooling. So I've got a lot of friends that do homeschooling, and the criticism is people say, oh, but the kids don't have good social skills because they don't aren't around other kids all the time. How did you go with that, with your friends during homeschooling?
Mm. So I have a friend who has actually been known to introduce me as, this is Katisha, she's homeschooled and she's normal. so I think my mum did a good job there. Look, we never had an issue with that. I have two brothers, so the three of us were homeschooled together. But we were very, very involved in extracurricular activities. And so because you're in this environment where there's three students and one teacher instead of 23 students and one teacher, you get through school a lot faster, just purely because there's no, you know, time wasted on behavioural management or, you know, moving from one classroom to another, just the practicalities of being homeschooled, which is great. And so we would often be finished our schoolwork by lunchtime, and then the afternoons we would, you know, we did dancing and drama and music and church activities and sports, and, you know, almost every afternoon we'd be out doing things. And so we never had an issue with making friends or being social, because we just did all that in the afternoon instead of in school.
Mm, cool. And did you ever get put in detention?
I wouldn't say detention, but I've definitely been in trouble. My mother has the patience of a saint.
Oh, good, good. Oh, wonderful. I tip my hat to any homeschooling mums and dads out there, because it's an amazing opportunity. And, you know, the reality is that schools have a very big influence on our kids' lives, and a lot of parents have decided they want to be the biggest influence in their kids' lives, and they're raising a great generation like yourself, Katisha. So it's good to hear a bit of your background. Now let's move on to talk a bit about your music ministry. How did you get into being a violinist, singer-songwriter who travels the country, sharing the gospel and writing your own songs? How did you get into this?
Ever since I was a kid, I've always been the kind of person who doesn't like doing things the same way that everyone else does them. Even when I was, you know, craft projects in Sunday school, I'd always want to do it a different color or a different style or something, because I never liked doing it the same as everyone else. And that's flowed over very much into music making as well, where I've just constantly been looking for ways that I can do something that not everyone else is doing. And so I have been a singer ever since I was a kid. And then when I was 16, I picked up the violin. And just sort of suddenly went, oh, this is the instrument I want to play. You know, it just sort of clicked with me. But the problem is you can't really sing and play the violin at the same time, just purely from a practical point of view, because the instrument sits underneath your chin. And so as you, you know, try to open and close your mouth, the violin moves, and it just doesn't really work. And so I played classical for a really long time. And then I started getting into looping, live looping, which basically I have pedals on the floor that I operate with my feet, which allows me to record myself live and then layer different recordings of violin, other instruments, my own voice. And then I can create backing tracks, which then means that recording is then playing, and then I can sing over the top. And so it's given me this opportunity to be able to do both those things that I wanted to be able to do at the same time. And it also gives me the flexibility to be able to travel and tour and perform without having to take a symphony orchestra with me or a pianist with me or something like that. And it's just, it's also something that people haven't seen a lot before. You often see, well, not often, but you'll see people with guitars using looping pedals quite a bit, but you rarely will see someone with a stringed instrument, like a bowed stringed instrument, using a looping pedal. And so people come up to me and they're like, oh, I didn't realize you could do that with a violin, because, you know, I strum it like a ukulele and I use different effects on it so it sounds like a cello or a bass guitar, or I have an electric violin that I can make, you know, all sorts of different sounds with. And so people go, oh, wow, you know, I thought the violin only played boring classical music, but you can do this with it. And yeah, it's very rewarding. So that was sort of where the music side of it came from. But I also, about 4 years ago, did a school with YOM, our Youth with a Mission, called School of Music and Missions, which was very much talking about how can you use music as a tool for sharing the gospel and as an outreach tool. And that was something that I became very passionate about. And I love seeing how those two things can come together.
Well, I have seen Ed Sheeran do his looping before.
And yes.
a lot of people may have seen him in concert doing that kind of thing. And, you know, so it is becoming more and more popular these days.
It is.
It's great to hear that you're using technology and music to share the gospel. And when you perform, you do a lot of Christian stuff, I know, and worship songs, but you also do some secular gigs as well, do you? Is that right?
I do, yeah. So I actually try to lean more towards, I guess, what you would call secular gigs, because I look at music in the Christian sphere in as it sort of two different categories. You have worship music, which is all about, you know, drawing people into the presence of God. It's about giving glory back to God. It's often in a church situation, you know, it's songs that are explicitly talking about God. And I have been involved in worship music ever since I was a kid, you know, like, and I think it's so important and I love it. But then there's also this side of music where, you know, music is a gift from God and it's so powerful. And it doesn't have to be a song that necessarily talks about God and Jesus to be able to be a song that talks about godly values. Like, if you think about, you know, the song Stand By Me, old classics, you know, that's one of the songs I often use as an example. You know, it doesn't say anything about God. It wasn't written by Christians, as far as I know. It's not meant from a Christian point of view. But the heart of that song is absolutely a godly perspective. Absolutely a godly thing, because it's talking about I'm gonna be there for you no matter what happens. You know, I'm not gonna ditch. I'm gonna stay there. I'm gonna be by your side and I'm gonna support you. You know, and that is such a godly way of thinking about relationships and such a godly way of dealing with difficult things. And if I'm gonna play a song for someone who, you know, maybe has had a really bad experience with Christianity or who is skeptical of the gospel, If I get up there and I play a worship song, then the first thing that person's probably going to think is, oh, here's a Bible basher, switch off, and I'm going to have lost them. Whereas if I get up there and I play a really interesting, exciting version of Stand By Me, then that person maybe will think, oh, cool, this is awesome, I'll listen to this. And then maybe I have the opportunity after the concert to talk to them, or maybe I get to share just a two-minute testimony of when somebody stood by me and that really encouraged me and helped me in my faith. And because that person has enjoyed Stand By Me, maybe they're going to actually be open to hearing what I have to say about God after that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's just really exciting to see where that can take us and what doors that can open for the gospel that may have been slammed in our faces otherwise.
Well, it has been so cool to hear a bit of your story today. And, you know, if people want to check out the website, it's katishaadelaide.com. They can also search up Katisha Adelaide on Facebook. And interesting to see there that I've just noticed that you've performed in places like the Philippines, in Sweden, the Royal Queensland show, Econites main event in Australia. And you do school concerts, and you even do house concerts, so people can book you just to come.
I do.
Come to the home.
Yep.
Great idea. Sounds cool.
I do, yeah.
Very
it's
cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Also, there's links there to Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. You'll find all the links there. It's so good to hear that God has raised you up to shine a light. And I pray the Lord will bless you and open up many doors for you in ministry. And have you released like an album? Tell us about your album titles.
I have. Yeah. So I, released a little EP, which is it's just a short album, so it has four songs on it, about 2 years ago now.
Okay, yep.
Which I look very much at, that was my learning experience. So I learned a lot about what I would not do and what I would do next time. And so as of February this year, I actually released my first album.
Cool.
Which is very exciting, which is something that I'm really, really proud of. So it's all original songs. And it's called Home Is Not So Far. Basically, the concept behind the album is that over the last 10 years, you know, I was saying how I've had the experiences doing all these different things, you know, been overseas, traveled, done YWAM, all that kind of thing, which has been amazing. And it's been such an amazing experience. But it's also been really hard because I would be somewhere for a few months and then have to pick up and move on, and then somewhere for a year and then pick up and move on, and then somewhere for a few months. And it sort of got to that point where I was like, you know, I don't feel like I have a home. I don't have connections. You know, what's the point in making connections? Because it's just going to hurt when I move on, and this whole thing. And of having to come to that realization of home is wherever God is, and wherever God has put me, I can be at home because he's there. And that's sort of the whole album is a bit of a reflection on that whole process over the last few years. And so it's quite a vulnerable album, but at the same time, it's also a celebration of all the good things and all the things that can symbolize home that are not necessarily four walls and a roof. And so, yeah, so that's that I put out on February. I've just come home from being on the road for almost 2 months, doing some promotional stuff for that. And yeah, I'm excited to hopefully keep doing that. I'd love to go inland over the next little while and do some stuff in more regional rural areas and yeah, see where that goes.
Wonderful. Well, it's been so good to catch up with you. And once again, the website is katishaadelaide.com, or they can search up Katisha Adelaide on social media, Spotify, iTunes, etc. Find all the details there. It's been wonderful to hear your story, Katisha. God bless you. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.